If you look at the sermon title printed in your bulletin, instead of the word on giving, offering would suit the title better than giving. And here's why. All the giving in the church is called offering, and every offering is to the Lord. So keep that in mind. By the way, I preach a sermon on giving once a year. So please do not spread the rumor that Pastor Choi talks about money all the time. I have proven record here once a year. Oh, by the way, God's Word, the Bible, talks about money over 100 times. Did you know that? It also warns us of its snare, danger lurking upon us if we are not careful. It also teaches us how to give to the Lord. If God's Word does so, so should any and every minister of God's Word. That's what I am doing this morning. I also want you to listen to the message with an open heart. Some folks have quote-unquote selective hearing. They love to hear certain types of sermons such as love, kindness, gentleness. Yet as soon as the preacher starts talking about money, they shut their hearts. They believe that the church should never talk about money. Therefore, they refuse to hear any message thereabout. True story, a friend of mine, pastor, at one Sunday after service was over, a member came to him and gave him a note. The pastor opened the note, which says, "Please, pastor, do not preach on the following three things. Money, sin, and death." What else can you preach? It would be a great loss to you and me if we dismiss God's word proclaimed, whatever the topic is. This morning, the topic happens to be on giving to the Lord. So please listen with an open mind, praying that the Lord would speak to you through his message. As Jesus says, "Those who have ears, let them hear." And this morning I'm going to talk about offering. As I said, offering means you're giving to the Lord. I'll begin with the history of offering in the Bible, and I'll move on to the three aspects of giving. First, it is to the Lord. Second, the Lord remembers your giving and offering. And third, the Lord rewards you according to your giving. First, history of offering. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. So if you remember how early people started giving to the Lord, Genesis chapter 4, where you see two sons of Adam and Eve. First son's name is Cain. Second son's name is Abel. They both brought their offerings to the Lord. That was the first recording ever in the Bible. So that's as old as our human history. The next recording of offering, you will see in the story of Noah. After the great flood, Noah came down and he offered sacrifice to the Lord. The next time you will hear or read about the offering is Abraham. Do you remember near sacrifice of Isaac? Abraham almost killed his own son as an offering to the Lord. And the next one you will hear, Jacob, yet that famous Jacob who gave tithes to the Lord, and so forth. Now, these forefathers of our faith, up until Moses, gave their offerings to the Lord individually, not as a group, not in a church setting. Whenever and wherever they built an altar to the Lord, they offered sacrifices to the Lord. Now about 3,500 years ago, the people of God came out of Egypt. We call that event Exodus. For the next 40 years in the wilderness, they just wander around, and the Lord commanded them to build the tabernacle. Tabernacle is a fancy word for tent. So the Lord commanded them to build a tent where God would meet his people in worship. The tabernacle needed materials to be built with. So God commanded the people of Israel to bring building materials from gold, silver, bronze, to fine, colorful threads. So after the tabernacle was completed, God appointed the priests and the Levites to serve in the tabernacle 24/7 to assist the people of God for worship throughout the year, day in, day out. Now, the priests and the Levites, they have their families, right? To support their daily needs, God allotted to them tithes and offerings that people brought. You know, there are 12 tribes in Israel at the time. God says, to 11 the tribes, I give you the land where you go and just, you know, do cultivate and, you know, grow trees and all kinds of things to support your family. But one tribe, which was Levites, God says, I am your allotment. You're not going to get any land, but I'll support you through the people's offerings. Now, that practice continued for the next 1,500 years. By the time of Jesus, God's people supported God's temple back then. Now it's from tabernacle to temple, actual building, in the following two ways. Temple tax for every male. They have to give temple tax. And second, tithes and offerings to the Lord. So you move your timetable for the next 100 to 2,000 years until 21st century, the Church of Christ relied and operated on people's offerings and tithes to the Lord. So did our Manahawkin United Methodist Church for the past 215 years. You know, I was preparing my sermon this past week, and I was so grateful for the people before us in the past 200 years, right here, folks. I really thank God for their, you know, giving and support of this church, and it's still going strong today. God's church relies on God. God sustains his church, however, through the offerings and tithes of his people. He prompts the desire in the hearts of his children, you and me, to support the church. I dedicated, therefore, my sermon this morning to all God's people like you who faithfully supported God's church through their sacrificial offerings and tithes to the Lord. That's a little history of offering. Now, there are three attributes, if you will, of offerings to the Lord. Each time you give something and anything to the Lord, please remember the following three. The first one is this. Every offering is given to the Lord. We say, give it to the church. But actually, you are giving to the Lord. When you bring any gift to the Lord, make sure that it is acceptable and pleasing to God, because God looks into your heart. Remember the story of Cain and Abel. Cain was the first son of Adam and Eve, and Abel was the, you know, his younger brother. What happened is Cain was the farmer, and Abel was a shepherd. In due time, both of them brought their offerings to God. For some reason, the Bible says, God was pleased with Abel's offering, which was animal sacrifice, lamb, but somehow God rejected the offering from Cain. Why? One thing I can think of is that for some reason, Abel must have had the right heart as he presented his offering to God, while Cain didn't. When you give anything to the Lord, do so prayerfully. That means that examine your heart first and give the best and the first, not the leftovers. I believe, you know, how many of you actually do budgeting? I do a budget, you know, every year. I look at the income, anticipated income for upcoming year, and on the next column, anticipated expenditure. I've been doing for, you know, 30 some years. Anyway, income side it's easy. On the expenditure side, typical, you know, people who do not believe in God, who do not know the Lord, typically what they do is just, okay, I'm gonna just, the top line item would be house mortgage, the biggest item. Next one would be car payments. Next one would be utilities and food and entertainment, all the way cables and whatever, all the way down. A lot of us, if you do budgeting, follow that, you know, pattern. Biggest items first and all the way down. Now, some Christians who follow that practice, what happens is that at the end of lining all these things up, and at the bottom you say, I'm going to give to church something. And you find yourself, I don't have much to give to the church. That's the reality, folks. So what I'm suggesting, if we follow what I'm saying and the Bible says, you know, give the best and the first. Let's reverse our practice from the bottom to the top. I'm not talking about the amounts. I'm talking about priority. So let's say I decided to give $5 a week or $10 a week to the Lord. That's good. It's up to you, between you and God. Now, move it up to the top. Always put the offering to the Lord as a top priority. And God will see in your attitude, you take me as a number one priority. That's what it is, folks. Do not wait until you use all the money you have and later on, oh, all I have is this much, I give it to the Lord. I don't think it's very biblical either. In the scriptures, when it comes down to offering to God, he commands us, listen, to give nothing but the best. For example, back in those days, they brought their animal sacrifices, right? This is what God says in his word. Animal sacrifices were to be without blemish, without any cut, nothing crippled, no diseased animals either, to be offered to the Lord. Well, you understand human nature. You look at two animals, one is sick and the other is healthy, and you want to keep the sick to yourself, and the healthy one with you, and give the sick one to the Lord. People back then, they did it. Okay? They brought the crippled ones and diseased animals to the temple of God. So much so that in Malachi, God was lamenting over the practice of his own people. He says, why don't you try to give that crippled animal to your governor? Do you think your governor would be pleased? That's what God says. Offerings to the Lord must be righteous and never defiled either. Now be careful. When someone comes to Pastor Choi, I'm going to give you half of my profit to you. I made $1 million through drug dealing. What do you think I should say? No, sir. Why? It's $500,000. It'll help your church. Oh, yes. But still, no thank you. Why? Because it was not a righteous money in the sight of God. Are you with me? Offerings to the Lord must be righteous and never defiled. Some of you think of, if I won the lottery tickets, I would give half of the profit. I've never met so-and-so so generous yet. They say, I'll give you part of it. Why lottery ticket is not good? Because you don't put any effort into it besides wishing for luck. And again, as a minister of God's word, I cannot say yes to your generosity. Why? Because it is not really healthy in terms of, you know, God's righteous money. Anyway, ask yourself, would I give this offering, whatever I give to the Lord, in this condition to my boss at work or to my governor, whoever, you know, I should please? There's a good story of a Christian woman, poor widow, raising three sons. True story, folks. Every Saturday night, she ironed her weekly offerings, dollar bills. Ironed them. So that on Sunday morning, she presented her dollar bills in the best condition ever. God is not most interested in how much you give, but rather God looked into our hearts and says, I know, you take it very seriously. That's what God is looking for. Remember, offerings to the Lord are sacred. It's more than just casual money, dropping $5. No, folks. Also, when you give offering to the Lord, do it willingly, not under compulsion. Do it joyfully, not reluctantly. Paul says, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Imagine this, there was a child who was, you know, given by her loving mother, See's candies. How many of you know See's candies? You know that. Very famous, tasty candy box. Let's say there are 10 candies there. And just the mother wanted to know how much the child loves her. So mother says, child, would you share one of the 10 candies with me? Can I have one? And the child says, no, mom, this is all mine. And you say, can I have one? And he reluctantly give one. That's the what some of us do when it comes down to giving to the Lord. Although everything came from God. So everything, remember, every offering is to the Lord. Second element of the offering is this. The Lord remembers. The key word is remembers what you give to Him. He remembers every single offering you give to the Lord. Here's a story of Cornelius. He was a Roman soldier stationed in the occupied land in Israel at the time of Jesus. What happens is that he was an influential figure in the community, so he did two things. He helped the community by giving alms, helping the poor and the needy families in the community, which was praised by the Jewish folks. Second thing he did was that he prayed every day. One afternoon around 3 o'clock, he was praying on his knees and the angel of the Lord appeared in his presence and said, Cornelius, two things God remembers. Cornelius was shocked. Angel, and telling me whatever I've done, God remembers. You know what the two things are? Almsgiving, helping the poor. And second thing is, of course, prayer. What I said, the same God remembers your offering to God too. One day Jesus was sitting in front of the temple in Jerusalem, and people as they coming in, they drop their offerings. Back then they're using coins. Imagine this, rich folk like me coming in and dropping the coins, having fun, hundreds of coins, ching, 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 ching. It takes 2 minutes to get there. Followed by one poor widow. She was sheepish. She looked around and she dropped 2 copper coins. Ching, ching, and she moved on. Jesus watching everything, what's happening, and this is what he told his disciples. Guess what? Today, this poor widow gave more money than the other rich folks. Why? The rich folks gave out of their abundance, but this poor widow gave everything she had, her living expenses. The point I'm making, the one God in heaven who made our eyes watches what we give and remembers. The third aspect of giving is this. Not only he remembers what we give to the Lord, but also rewards you and me richly according to his riches in glory. Paul the apostle says in today's reading, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You know, we tend to associate the bountiful harvest here with material blessings only. Oh, I'm going to get rich. A lot of money. Sure, the Lord blesses us with our material needs when we give Him plentifully. However, He has more things, more important than material blessings, stored up for us. I would call them heavenly blessings, if you will. God wants to reward us with the best things in the world. Let me tell you, money is good, but it's not the best thing you would ever want. Have you noticed that I followed, you know, for my curiosity, all these lottery winners in the newspaper in the past 30 years or something. About 90% of them become miserable after winning multi-million dollars. Why? Why is that? Well, there's another sermon topic on there. But anyway, the point is that money is good. We need it. But it's not the best thing you ever want. What is it then? God rewards us with his heavenly currency, may I say, such as love, joy, peace, trust, kindness, gentleness, confidence, self-control, and so forth, and security. These are the fruits that we will harvest bountifully when we sow bountifully in our giving to the Lord and his kingdom work. Now, one last thing, and I'll be through, folks. I would be amiss as preacher if I do not tell you about tithes. Tithes is giving 10% of your income to the Lord. Now, a lot of Christians don't want to hear about tithes. Any sermon, any teaching about tithes. Why? Because they don't. They don't do tithing. Or they're afraid so. But that doesn't mean that we cannot or should not talk about it. Like reading the Bible, many Christians don't read the Bible. But that doesn't mean that we should stop talking about it. The word tithes appear 31 times in the entire scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Even Jesus commands us to practice tithes. So does God. Listen yourself to the word of God command here in Deuteronomy chapter 14. God says, you shall... Now, whenever you hear God saying, you shall, it's a command. You shall not kill, you shall keep the Sabbath holy and all these things. Same tone, God says, you shall surely tithe. Now, listen very carefully. Whenever you read the English translation, surely do something, in Hebrew literary technique, God repeats, you shall tithe, tithe. That's what it means. You shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year. Back then it was agricultural society, so, you know, produce from the field every year. But now we are doing it monthly or biweekly. Anyway, here's another verse on tithes in Malachi. God is lamenting over the fact that people of God didn't do any tithes. This is what he says. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you, God? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. It wasn't just an individual. The whole nation wasn't there. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Imagine this, folks. God says, you shall not put the Lord to the test. Again, we don't want God, you know, to test the God. But God says, only one place in the entire scripture, the only place God challenges us to test him. Test me in this. What? On tithing. Although tithing is for everyone, every believer, not everyone is willing to take up this divine challenge. I know that. But I did. About 40-some years ago, I was a baby Christian. I was in college. When I started tithing, not because I wanted to be rich, but simply because this is God's command to me, I want to obey it. That's how I started it. You heard of my tithing story before. Anyway, what I did is that, you know, start tithing on behalf of my family. God proved that he is faithful to keep his promise in tithes. In other words, I saw God fulfilling his promise in tithes. He also increased my family income in the next 2 years after I started tithing and my family. He increased my family income 100 times in a couple of years. I'm not making this up. Even last night I was thinking, am I making this up? Am I dreaming? So old, you know, 40-some years ago. But that's quite true. He increased my family income 100 times in a couple of years beyond my imagination. And since then, for the next 40-some years, till today, I've been tithing. Don't get me wrong, the best part of tithes is non-material blessings. Yes, the Lord keeps His promise. However, if you ask me what's the best of tithing, let me tell you this. It is an unshakable financial security God grants me that in any circumstance I can say to anyone, I am rich. Why? Because the Lord is my bank. He is my financial backup. That's why, folks. I don't have $1 million. But as far as financial security and my future, yes, God is my backup. That one God has given me through this tithing practice. That's why I urge everyone to try it. What good is it we know that this Bible has all kinds of good God's promises and principles and we never practice in our lives and enjoy the benefit of it? I'm especially challenging those who are in a financial crunch. You always end up, oh, I don't have enough money. Tithing is a good place to start, folks. Test God in this one, God says, and you will be surprised by God. As for closing, I will say this. Giving is a heart issue. Where your treasure is, God Jesus says, your heart is there too. Right? You decide in your heart what and how much you give to the Lord. It's between you and God. And no matter what you give to the Lord, remember, everything you have is from the Lord first, and you are giving it back to the Lord. And therefore, give your heart first, and give God the best and the first, not leftovers, and do it cheerfully. Then God will remember what you've done for Him, and He will reward you richly with treasures in heaven. Let's bow our heads in prayer. We repent, Lord, of our sin and attitude toward material things that we need. When Jesus says not to worry about daily needs, we constantly do. When Jesus says seek God's kingdom and His righteousness first, we always put the needs of your kingdom at the end. We repent of our practice in the past. We gave you leftovers. So Lord, I preach to your word as truthfully and as accurately as I see in the scripture. Speak to your heart, the hearts of your people. Once again, Lord, let them experience the living God, even in their daily needs and material needs, through giving to the Lord first and the best. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.